Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Melissa, Melissa, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Insert your own name here. Imagine a time when you have been worried and distracted by many things. This might not be too difficult to imagine currently in our world of social media feeds, of a news cycle that can feel like an assault on our sensibilities, of work creeping more and more into the corners of our lives, of our economy's relentless push to do more, to produce more, to grow more. In and amid all of this, imagine Jesus calling you by name. Imagine him naming our worries, our distractions, and saying to us that there is only need of one thing. How does it feel to have Jesus say this to us? Do we feel accused, called out, scolded, maybe a little annoyed? Maybe this makes us feel even more worried. Maybe we feel conflicted. Or maybe Jesus naming this reality makes us feel freed or relieved or noticed or seen. Maybe it makes us feel shepherded, defended, recognized, cared for, comforted. As we consider our own worries and distractions, I wonder about the many tasks that Martha is distracted by in our gospel. The story doesn't tell us what Martha's tasks are. It could be that she is preparing a meal for her, Jesus, and Mary to eat together, or that she's preparing to provide hospitality in some other way. But the text does not say that. Martha could be doing things completely unrelated to Jesus' visit, like undertaking part of a home renovation project. We simply don't know. So maybe the reason the story doesn't tell us what Martha is doing is because it's not important what she's doing. The important part is her frame of mind, which the story does tell us about. She is distracted and she is worried. So Jesus' words in this passage, they're not necessarily about what Martha and Mary and we are doing. Rather, Jesus' words cut to the heart of how Martha, Mary, and we are engaging in the daily activities of our lives. What does the story tell us? The story tells us that Mary sits at Jesus' feet and listens to what he is saying. The story tells us that Martha is worried and distracted by many tasks, many things. Jesus tells Martha that there is need of only one thing, and that Mary has chosen the better part. Perhaps the better part that Mary has chosen is her way of being, her focus on and attentiveness to one thing, over Martha's worry and distractedness about many things. Perhaps the better part is to be present and attentive to the one task, to the one encounter, to the present moment at hand, whatever that might be. Jesus is speaking here about our attention, the quality of our attention, and our daily discernment of how and to whom and to what we pay attention, pay attention. It's interesting that we use the verb pay, right? It's an economic verb. Attention, like money, is a limited resource. And this gospel story moves us to ask, how do we practice good stewardship of the limited resource, the gift, the treasure of our attention? The secular benefits of being attentive to one thing at a time are at this point well known. You can look up the results of any number of studies that show how bad we humans are at multitasking, even though we all think we're brilliant at it. But the spiritual benefits of focusing on one thing have long been known by mystics, philosophers, theologians, and monastics. Benedictine monastic communities live by a rhythm of ora et labora, prayer and work, engaging in one thing at a time. When the bell rings as a call to prayer, Benedictine monks and nuns in community stop whatever one thing they are doing and engage in the one needful thing of prayer together. Then they move on to doing the next one thing until the next bell calls them to the next time of prayer, and so on and so on, and this is the rhythm of their days. Paying attention to the one thing needed in a given moment is easier said than done. And many of our worries and distractions are very real. They are not trivial. The grief and loss in our relationships and personal lives, as well as the oppressive economic, political, judicial, and cultural systems that we navigate. Being good stewards of our attention, choosing what and whom we pay attention to, can be a form of resistance to unjust societal structures. Paying attention takes practice. It's a practice. The poet and spiritual writer Kathleen Norris takes up the theme of holy attentiveness in many of her books. She writes about how the monastic call to pay attention to one thing at a time has deepened her own attention to and delight in the sacredness of the rhythm of her own daily life and to God's presence in it, even and especially when she is feeling distracted and worried like Martha by the most mundane and repetitive tasks. She writes, "When confronted by a sink full of dirty dishes, I admit that I generally lose sight of the fact that God is inviting me to play. But I recall that as a college student, I sometimes worked as a teacher's aide in a kindergarten and was interested to note that one of the most popular play areas among all of the children was a sink in the corner of the room. The children delighted in filling, emptying, and refilling plastic bowls, cups, and glasses, watching bubbles form as they pressed objects deeper into the sink or tried to get others to stay afloat." Our attention is one of our most precious resources. Jesus calls Martha and us by name when we are worried and distracted, and reminds us to stop and to try to pay attention. I've shared this quote from theologian Simone Weil several times in sermons. I'm going to share it again today because it's one of my favorites. She writes, "Absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. Absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. To give our full attention to only the one thing needed, to only the one encounter needed at any given moment is to pray, is to open ourselves to the possibility of spacious and holy delight, is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Amen.